trees and bells. It will all become clear, hopefully, during the sermon, and certainly by the time the sermon finishes. I want to start with the quote that's in your order of service that's hopefully occasionally sparks imagination and thoughts before worship and allows you to come in. The quote comes from Frederick Buchner's book, The Sacred Journey. And it says, on All Saints' Day, it's not just the saints of the church that we should remember in our prayers, but all the foolish ones and wise ones, the shy ones and overbearing ones, the broken ones and whole ones, the despots and tosspots and crackpots of our lives, who one way or another have been our particular fathers and mothers and saints, and whom we loved without knowing we loved them, and by whom we were helped to whatever little we may have or ever hope to have of some kind of seedy sainthood of our own. Buchner's book is an almost autobiography written by the theologian as it explores the ups and downs of faith and of his faith. They're meant to inspire us to notice Christ within those who might not necessarily fall into the bracket that we think sainthood includes. And it perhaps even allows that possibility of recognising that Christ is active in our own lives. It plays with saints in unusual places and the least likely of people. In the month of November, when memories are stirred, and on a weekend when the focus is on those who have been part of the shaping of our faith, it's good to encounter the familiarity of the Zacchaeus story. I'm sure as the gospel was being read, there are those amongst you who heard in their heads the children's hymn, Zacchaeus was a very little man, and without even prompting, reached the end of the story before Stuart had got there, because the hymn goes faster, no matter how we try, knowing what had happened. It's a story we love as children. In childhood, we notice the exclusion of someone who is different, but then we're frustrated at the meanness of Zacchaeus before rejoicing with Jesus that even Zacchaeus has a place at God's table. As adults, we see the double edge of exclusion, that the crowd excludes Zacchaeus because he is part of the political regime that excludes them from living life to the full. We get caught in the judgment of the crowd, angry with Jesus for noticing one who's hurt them, failing to understand the motives of God, calling to the attention of the rich and the unjust, of the poverty of the community. We rejoice with the crowd at the change of heart and perhaps think how those actions might further impact on the community in which Zacchaeus lives. It's the kind of gospel story that must have stirred Buchner's thoughts as he wrote about those who enable us to see the presence and activity of God in the world around. Well, Jesus seeks to bring God's love and justice to the world. That transformation happens in unusual people and places. Unusual places like a tree. Hence the tree. But hence the tree also, because the tree is a significant part of our gospel encounters with faith. Trees will appear time and time again through the story. Jesus preaches under trees. We're told at the beginning he comes from the root of Jesse, the tree of Jesse. He curses fig trees. He meets Zacchaeus in a tree, and his life will end on a tree. So a tree in the midst of our faith to inspire us to think of growing from the tree. The letter to the Ephesians keeps our thoughts on the notion that the kingdom of heaven is present on earth and possible in our time by celebrating the work of those who form the church community. Sally A. Brown speaks of the divine story surrounding a human story within that reading. Following the path of Christ becomes more than the hope of a better future. Instead, it allows God's realm to invade every activity so that justice and mercy are not distant ideals, but present realities. In celebrating the saints of Ephesus, we meet real flawed people who, shaped by Christ, speak of God present on earth. It's where the bells come in. We hear Paul speaking, or maybe it's not Paul because we're not sure who writes Ephesians. We hear Paul speak of rejoicing in the saints, of making a noise that they are present. And so the bells remind us of the sound of the saints, the sound of the saints in our own lives, that as we continue to live, tinkle away, reminding us that Christ is present, that we have seen Christ in their lives. Yesterday, some of us spent the day at a conference on creating and deepening discipleship. And I will say, I think people missed it. I went not really thinking I would come away feeling I had learnt anything or grown in any way. But actually, there was so much to come away and think about, not least the six characteristics of discipleship, which I'm not going to list this morning, but I will in some near possible moment. So it was an opportunity to think about what discipleship meant. But I think for many of us, at the very least, we were able to enjoy conversations with others who spoke of what faith meant for them. In the questions and conversations that were had, it was not difficult to notice and hear that time and time again, experiences of faith, of encountering God in our life, quite often happen because of the experiences of others who have stirred something within us. Parents, ministers, partners, people we worked with, friends, strangers, unexpected meetings. Perhaps when we celebrate our saints, we should rejoice in their imperfections as much as the things that mark them as wonderful. Because it's the imperfections that made them human that allowed Christ's light to shine. It's our imperfections that Christ works with so that Christ's light shines. It's from our imperfections that perhaps others will see God within each of us, calling them to faith. Bells and trees. For a small moment this morning, we're going to pause and reflect on those who have allowed us to encounter God and inspired us to value our faith in Jesus Christ. You are each given a bell, and there is a pen in the pew should you need it. And you're asked to write the name of someone, living or gone, who marked your faith, that allows you to remember Christ in the midst of all of life. And Matthew's going to play a wee piece of music, and we're going to hang it on the tree and leave it there. This is a tree of memory, a tree to remind us of all the saints who have been part of our lives journey and even of this faith community. By placing them on the tree, we remind ourselves that we are part of a faith that grows on the memories of others, of the encountering of the gospel in other people's lives. And so, whenever you feel you can, please add your leaf to our tree.